Dean Stephen, can you just explain a little bit about the catalyst for Project Pilgrim coming into existence?
Project Pilgrim is one aspect of our overall strategic plan here at Gloucester Cathedral, but it's rather a big aspect because it's £6 million worth of investment and development in the life of the cathedral. And for so often in these ancient buildings, that's about conservation and restoration. But for us, that wasn't ever going to be enough. We wanted to move forward as well. And so there are major aspects of this project, alongside all of that work, that take us into the future as well, such as our solar panels on the roof of the nave and our underfloor heating in the Lady Chapel and our access arrangements, so that for the first time in history, and in a place like this that's quite a long history, disabled people will be able to access the ground floor or the whole of the cathedral for the first time under their own steam.
And from a renewables perspective, is this a first for Gloucester Cathedral?
It's certainly a first for us in terms of going beyond the normal recycling and those kinds of responsible citizenship aspects. This is providing 25% of our electricity, which for a building of this size is obviously quite a big bill. But also it says something much deeper for us in terms of the gift of creation and using what has already been provided in a place which many people have an affiliation to, so that they can identify for themselves their precious places having a serious sustainability emphasis. So people have been responding remarkably well. Firstly, it was really easy to raise the funds to do this. Nearly £60,000, because people wanted to commit. And in terms of permissions, which you might imagine would be really hard to get on a building like this, again, that sailed through. The panels can't be seen from the ground. And so it was almost as if it has always been waiting to be done. And there's something immensely powerful about a place of worship, let alone a cathedral, trying to lead the way in one way, of saying that this is really important, not just to us, but to everybody who has a share in a building of this nature.
Was there a template for this sort of development?
I understand that Bradford Cathedral have got some solar panels on their building, but it's a much younger building and a much smaller installation compared to the whole of the length of Gloucester Cathedral's nave. So this is a huge amount of solar PV array, and to that extent, that's why it can make such a difference. We've been surprised just how positive a reaction it's had from people.
And how do you marry together cutting-edge technology with a building of this age? It's over 1,000 years old.
Yes, indeed. And to that extent, the permissive cycle is really quite rigorous. There are local permissions and national permissions as well, so it could have stumbled at a number of hurdles. What we have to do is to make sure that there's not a negative impact on the heritage. But at the same time, again, there's an emphasis in saying, well, all the way through this, I was saying that if we can do this, we should do this. And that was a deliberate decision on our behalf. So to that extent, making sure that the roof can take it, also planning for the future, because this roof, as with every roof covering, will need to be replaced in about 30 years' time, by which time technology will have moved on and we'll be able to do this again in a different way. But in that sense, again, there was a really important message for us, marrying the ancient with the modern in the service of our environment.
And what is the energy that you're generating through the solar array on your roof supplying at the cathedral?
Well, we've got a wonderful meter that ticks along over in the crypt, and that tells us how much we're producing. And also on our website, there is a schematic which tells people how many trees we're planting, as it were, how many light bulbs we're not using. But in essence, it's 25% of the cathedral's electrical usage. which again is an important symbol. And in a place that historically was always lit by candlelight rather than by electricity, and often is now, it's really good in great services, especially in the winter around Christmas time, to be able to say to the thousands of people that come, this service is solar powered by what we've stored up. And that just puts that message back in the hearts of the people that come, and hopefully changes their view about their own contributions.
And do you think that it is helping to change people's views and behaviours in relation to their energy usage?
It's anecdotal, but certainly from the conversations that we've had, that seems to be very much the impact of doing something like this on a building like this. And in fact, just before we met, I bumped into two people who volunteered the fact that they paid £500 for one of the solar panels. So people have actually got some sense of ownership of having done this. And to that extent, many individuals and groups donated in order to be able to do that. So people talk about their solar panel on their cathedral. And that means that I think they really are taking it seriously. But this is a public place. You know, this is somewhere where 500,000 people visit every year. And to know that this is something that we've done and take seriously clearly has an impact on them. And I think the more public buildings, let alone places of worship, that can do this, the better. We've got to lead the way.
And is the church leading the way in developing renewable technology across the country and indeed the world?
I think we're trying to do our best, as always. And again, with buildings like this, it's not always easy to be as radical as the church might want to be. I mean, after all, you know, for us, this is creation. Obviously not in 7 days, but in the gift of creation something that we therefore would naturally want to be supporting and to be a part of. But what's interesting here is that this is the largest installation of solar panels on the oldest building of its type in the world to have them. Well, I think that is leading the way.
Absolutely. And a wider project, Pilgrim, you're developing green spaces, are you, around the church ground, the cathedral grounds?
Yes, we're a bit of a building site at the moment, because what's happening outside is that the car park that had surrounded this fantastic building for decades is going. And remarkably, that was far more controversial than installing solar panels on the roof, because people get into the habit of enjoying the convenience. But from a spiritual point of view, to surround a building as iconic as this with motor cars was not good enough for us. But also then to give to the city a green lung around its most important building was really important. And that sense that people can come and dwell and feel that they can belong in a space, a proper cathedral close, landscaped, made beautiful, making sure that we have a good selection of plants and so on, so that people can enjoy those and that they might tell a story as well, is just so much better than quite literally what felt like a municipal car park. Actually, for me, is one of the things I should be most proud of, because there's nothing about going back in time in that. That's saying that this is an important place and therefore we should cherish it, which, even with a place as big as this, is still only a microcosm of the world which we need to cherish.
And what's next for your energy journey here?
I think we've been inspired by the response to the solar panels, and we're just about to start preparing phase two of Project Pilgrim, which will involve a new building. Not a new cathedral, but a new building. And I think what has inspired us by doing this is making sure that it's not the last question we ask when we're doing things, but it's one of the first questions. That what should we be doing in our sustainability so that we can be supporting all of that? So the new build will need to have that as a major emphasis. And I think for us, it means now that this is part of who we are rather than just ticking a box.
And what you're doing here, reducing your impact and hopefully carbon emissions, is creating an example for people to take forward and use in their own lives, I suppose, here and wider, and from a wider perspective as well, which is obviously really important.
Well, it is, because when you think how many church buildings there are in the country, how many people will go to church over the course of a year. 11 million British people visit a cathedral in this country every year. That's before visitors from overseas. So, you know, if the church is able to say that we take this seriously and show it as well, that message is going to reach a huge audience. But again, by doing it to a cathedral and one as beautiful as this, means that people are saying, well, if they can do it, we can do it. When it's done, when sustainability options are done on buildings that are either brand new or easy to deliver on, then, you know, it's a case of, well, they would do, wouldn't they? For us, this was quite a symbolic challenge as well as a sustainability challenge.
And here and other churches around the country, if you have any anecdotal evidence of the impacts of a changing climate, are you seeing that there are more damage? Is there more damage being caused by extreme weather events, increased rainfall?
Well, of course, here in Gloucester, and it's 10 years ago this year, we suffered from the Gloucester floods. Many people will remember those aerial photographs of Tewkesbury just up the river, surrounded by water. And here in Gloucester, the water rose so highly that it was just about to be declared a national emergency. So for us, this is a serious subject, and the river floods regularly. There's been lots of remedial work, but people remember 10 years ago very closely. In fact, we will be holding a special service with all of the agencies, the emergency services, the Environment Agency and so on, in July to mark what took place. And I think what's happened is that people recognise that this is something that impacts on every single one of us. And here in this locality, that came very close to home.
Has there been any measures that you've taken on a personal level to reduce your impact on the environment?
I think, for me, it's the normal domestic stuff at home. One of the things I certainly tried to do is to monitor some of the driving that one has to do a lot of in this job, and how you drive and the impact on the environment then. But also, I think, in running an organisation, trying to put that right the way through as a thread for the 60-odd folk that work for us, for the 500 nearly volunteers who work here, that one can have a personal impact on them and the way in which they contribute has been surprising to me in terms of how much people have been ready to pick that up if there is leadership. So I think, you know, many small individual differences can be encouraged by people seeing that this is taken seriously.